It's all about Southampton. The So-So Show with Zoe Hanson and Simon Clark.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Southampton's podcast, The So-So Show. It's a weekly look at life in the city, hosted by her, Zoe Hanson.
And him, Simon Clark. This week, the sun is out and we are getting ourselves summer ready.
I think we are now concentrating on people's toes and feet, and I think that's because the sun's come out and so has everyone's flip-flops.
And a sponsored walk with a difference to keep an essential service running.
We had people turning up at 3 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, the support was absolutely overwhelming.
So here we are, booming about all things Southampton like a foghorn at 4 a.m.
They were going off this morning, weren't they?
They were. And the Facebook groups were full of people moaning about foghorns going off at 4 a.m. It's like, where have you been living for the last however many years? Do you not remember this happens every time it gets foggy?
Well, it does. But then they do go off at certain other times, don't they? Like when we were doing, if you think back to a year ago, when we were doing the clap for the NHS and all the carers on a Thursday evening, the foghorns would go off then. And I thought that was really nice. And they'll do it on like a celebration day, you know, New Year's Eve or whatever. But yeah, I heard them this morning. And then as soon as I went on Facebook, there were people moaning about it and going, why is there a foghorn?
Well, duh, it's foggy.
Have a guess, yeah. Yeah.
I did feel sorry for all the people who got up early to go down to the Western Shore to watch the Disney cruise ship coming, because that arrived. I bet you probably didn't get a great view of that with the fog.
Unless it looked like it was coming out of a sort of Stars in Their Eyes door.
So we must, before we go any further, say thank you very much.
Because this is amazing. And honestly, I'm almost like choked up about this, because we have hit 5,000 listeners and we want to thank you so, so much. I know that sounds like a pun, but look, honestly, from the bottom of our hearts, we love making this and we love that you listen and we love that you get involved. So thank you. 5,000 listeners. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to have 5,000 drinks to celebrate.
5,000 shots. Light them up. Can you imagine 5,000 shots?
Don't.
So the Euros are on this week and it's going to have a slightly different feel to any international football tournament that's gone before, because normally they'd
Because we might win.
Well, yeah. And normally there would be a big screen somewhere and we'd all be gathered and you would see the cutaways on the telly. Whenever England score a goal, they'd cut to a big screen and there'd be beer going in the air and people going crazy. Of course, there'll be none of that this time.
I know. And normally sort of down in Westquay, they have a screen, don't they, outside there where the fountains are. And there's normally like chairs out there for Wimbledon and stuff. And I remember back to the World Cup, what's that, 3 years ago now? And I went to a game. I went to the warm-up game. And my friend had got the tickets. It was the most bizarre thing. It was the most amazing thing to see, because it was the first time I'd ever seen England play. It was at Wembley Stadium. We were on row one and we were literally beside the subs bench. If they'd have run out of players, I was next on. The heat off of the flamethrowers. Mm. I could hear Gareth Southgate singing the national anthem. Wow. It was bizarre. But yeah, the Euros. What's the big thing about these big football tournaments?
It's having that shared experience, isn't it?
No, it's not that. It's the Panini sticker book, isn't it?
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Well, the Panini sticker book still says 2020. Surely some of those teams must have changed. People will have got injured, or people will have got better and got themselves into the squad. But they're still going with the 2020 ones.
It has to be, though, because it is the 2020 Euros being played in 2020.
Right.
So it is still Euro 2020, isn't it?
Are they calling it that?
I don't know. I haven't noticed, to be honest. I probably would have done if my lad was a bit younger, because he would have been completely all over the sticker books, as he has done in previous years.
Yeah.
But no, I'm going to have to pay closer attention next time I'm in the newsagents to see how they're handling it.
Right.
I think Scotland have got a few more fans this time, because two of the Saints players, Stuart Armstrong and Shane McAdams, are obviously playing for Scotland. And if you haven't booked your place yet in the pub to watch it with your mates, you might have left it a little bit too late.
Yeah, to possibly. That England-Scotland game, right?
But there is one place you can go and watch it with your friends. Probably less alcohol. You can go to the Showcase at Westquay and you can watch the England-Scotland game for free.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. I love that.
And do you know what's going to fry my brain if I went? It would be the fact that I would be in a cinema where you're normally supposed to be quiet.
Yes.
Making as much noise as possible.
So Green King pubs, they have got free pints to give away if you go to the bar on the first day, which is the 11th Friday, and you say your home of pub sport, you will get a free pint. Now, I've got a list of all of the places, all of
I'm
the pubs.
I'm so glad you have, because Green King, Fuller's, they all kind of blur into one for me.
Right.
So where do I need to go to get my free pint on the first day of the Euros?
I mean, you could see this as a list of pubs where you can get a free pint, or you can see it as a list of places I'm going to be on Friday.
In sequence.
So we've got the Scholar's Arms at Above Bar, the Mitre in Portswood, Belmore on Hill Lane, Fleming Arms on Wide Lane, West End Brewery, and Walnut Tree Farm.
Someone listening to this will know someone who's done that in that order as a pub crawl at some point anyway.
Yes.
Well, that's brilliant. What's the phrase that we've got to deliver if we want our free pint?
Your home of pub sport, they are.
I'd say that for a free pint.
Yeah, too right.
I'm not proud.
There's plenty I would do for a free pint.
So the sun has arrived and it looks like summer might finally be here.
Yes, right. There is a what they call a heat wave on the way. And I've always been annoyed by them saying, it's a heat wave. I'm like, it's not, it's summer. But I actually found out the qualification. You know me, I like to know the ins and outs, right? I found out the qualification for a heat wave. Do you know what it is, Simon?
Doesn't it have to be above a certain temperature for a certain number of days?
Yes, it does. So it used to be 5 consecutive days at 5 degrees above the seasonal average. But nowadays, it is 3 consecutive days over 27 degrees.
Was it 2018 where we had that ridiculous hot spell? That started like
Who
April
can
time. Well, the only reason I remember it is because I just started a new job.
Right.
And the new job involved getting up at 3:45 in the morning.
Right.
Which meant trying to get to sleep was nigh on impossible.
Yes, you're right. You're right. Because it was. That was absolutely crazy. It was stifling heat, wasn't it? I was away in Sardinia and people were messaging me going, it's hotter over here. And I'm like, yeah, but you're not sat by a pool with a cocktail.
So it's now 3 days where the average is above 27 instead of 5 consecutive days where it's above whatever.
Yes.
Okay. But the sun is out and luckily the salons have reopened so we can get ready to wear less. Zoe has caught up with Jenna, who's director of Glow Beauty Salon in Bitton, which is another sector hit really hard by lockdown.
It was so difficult and I think a lot of us suffered as a result of beauty salons being closed. We definitely did.
Did you ever have any of your clients or anybody get in touch with you saying, just come to my garden and give me a wax or something?
We did. We did have a few people saying, like, we are so desperate. I can't believe I've let myself get like this. I can't believe I'm looking like this. But fortunately, we were all in the same boat, weren't we?
Yeah, exactly.
We all were.
Yeah, I was plaiting my leg hair. We were all there, weren't we?
Yeah.
So we've come full circle now. You're sort of reopened, what, 8 weeks ago?
Yeah, 8 weeks ago to the day.
And how has that felt?
Amazing. Incredible. I think we were shut for such a long time that we just needed this. We needed to all restart, reboost, refresh everything, and we've all just come back with a bang, I think.
When you first reopened Glow Beauty Studio, did you find that there were sort of different treatments that were more popular? So beforehand, maybe it was nails or whatever, and then, but this was sort of maintenance going on.
Everything was popular because everyone was so desperate for a pamper. Yeah. However, nails and really lashes as well. And I think the lashes were because that's the only part of your face that you see with a face covering.
Right.
So everyone was coming going for lashes, lash extensions or lash lifts, because your eyes are now such an important part of your face, because that's the only bit you can really see.
Yeah, I never even thought of that. And you're right, because I concentrate on putting my eye makeup on. Lipstick has taken a back seat at the moment because it comes off on your mask.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah, there's no point in putting that on. And even foundation, that just sticks underneath, doesn't it? You might as well just concentrate on your eyes.
So it's all about the eyes. Yeah. Any new treatments as well? So that was the sort of initial rush was eyes and lashes. And has that changed now that, you know, that bars are open and people are able to go out for a night out and stuff like that? Are you seeing a lot of difference now?
Yeah, I think we are now concentrating on people's toes and feet. And I think that's because the sun's come out and so is everyone's flip-flops. Yeah. So everybody is coming in for a pedicure or a callus peel or gel toes. And we're now pampering everybody's feet.
Oh, well, that's lovely, yeah, isn't it? So you've gone from head to toe now.
We literally have. Yeah, from top to bottom.
Don't say that. And the other thing that happened 8 weeks ago, we are joined on this interview by a sleeping baby. Who is this?
His name's Leo.
And he's 8 weeks old. So tell me the story. So it's come to opening day. Boris has said, yes, you can open. Yeah. You're ready to go.
I am. So Leo was due on the 31st of March. So in my head, I thought, fine, I've got 2 weeks. Boris gave us our date. Yeah. The 12th of April, we could reopen, but that's a Monday. So we were going to open on the 13th. And I waited and I waited. And 14 days late, Leo arrived on the 13th of April, on the same day my doors could reopen. He timed that very well. So he came on reopening day. Yeah.
So that's amazing. You had him while you were doing a treatment.
Yeah, exactly. I was there in my studio. No, fortunately, my team were running the show for me. So Brilliant. They kept everything moving, which was amazing. And the clients were flooding back in and I was giving birth in hospital.
And how was it, you know, being pregnant and having a baby sort of in these COVID times?
It was difficult. I mean, he's my first, so I don't really have anything to compare it to. All I can compare it to is what people have told me. But yeah, I think it's quite tough. Yeah. I found it difficult that I couldn't really socialise. Obviously, they ask you to isolate towards the end, so you're stuck in. And for me, the timing wasn't great because everyone started to move around a little bit more outside and I wasn't allowed to. And yeah, it was an experience. Hopefully one I won't repeat, but...
Were you able to take your partner along to the appointments?
Absolutely nothing. I did it all on my own. So we did go privately for a couple of scans, just so that my partner could come with me. Right. But unfortunately, I did start to finish on my own, even... Wow. The day that I was giving birth, I did my first 22 hours of labour on my own before he was allowed to join me. But I was looked after incredibly well by the midwives, and the hospital staff were incredible. But yeah, I did from start to finish all on my own.
Well, look, congratulations. Reopening glow and having a baby on the same day. And he is absolutely gorgeous. And he's fast asleep. We must whisper.
So that's Jenna, director of Glow Beauty in Bitten. And there's two things about that interview, right? I couldn't work out why at the start you were talking so quietly, because it's most unlike you.
I know.
And what are gel toes?
It's nail varnish, but it's hard wearing nail varnish. So it doesn't come off until you soak it for about 15 hours in acetone.
When did that become a thing?
About probably 15 years ago, something like that.
Totally mansplained. So what else have you been up to?
Well, okay, so last weekend was rather lovely, good sunny weather. Right, come on, let's go to the beach. Get your hat, get your sunglasses, let's go to the beach. Went to the beach, went to Leon Solon. It was freezing. What I didn't count on was that the breeze coming off the sea is always cold. And it was so breezy.
Yeah.
I actually walked past a group of people wearing jumpers and clapped them. I applauded them. I said, congratulations. Well done. You are the most intelligent people on the beach. Because at that point, we were scurrying back to the car to warm up.
It amazes me how many people in Southampton have never been to Leon Solon or over that way. I went cycling a couple of weeks ago with a mate of ours, Martin, and he's lived in Southampton all his life. But we cycled out through Parkgate, Titchfield Nature Reserve, along Hillhead, Sultan's Park into Leon Solent that way.
Lovely.
He's 41 and he'd never been that way before.
Really?
I was really surprised.
No, I was saying, really? 41? He's always told me he's 25.
He's never been to the Bluebird Cafe for an ice cream. He's
what?
Never been to Lee Pizza and Kebab of an evening.
The Bluebird Cafe had a big queue for ice creams. Mm. And I reckon it was people trying to get off the beach just for a second, just to have a little shelter from the wind.
There's a new cake shop that's just opened just down from the Bluebird as well called Cathy's, which is an offshoot of one that's in Stubbington. But my favourite place for coffee in Leon Solent is on the little road behind the seafront, and it's called the Tea Party.
And they've got
loads of little quaint old school cutlery and sewing machine tables that have been converted into coffee tables. It's very cute. They do amazing cakes in there.
The other thing that happened, and this is possibly because I got so cold, I got quite a bad back, so I made a chiropractor's appointment. But I made a good chiropractor's appointment because it was at the Aegeus Bowl, and I stood and watched for a good 10, 15 minutes the Indian cricket team training.
Oh, excellent.
And the noise coming off that bat as they swing through the ball. Wow. Phenomenal. So eventually the chiropractor got me into the room.
That's a hell of a whack, though. The sound of cricket ball on willow. It's one of those sounds when you hear it that you think, that's going to hurt.
Yes, isn't it? And you can hear the bat flying through the air. It goes, and you're like, whoa, that's miles away. Oh, I've got another fact, right?
Go on then.
You know, I like to know all of these things, okay? So while I'm at the chiropractors, I asked, what's the difference between an osteopath and a chiropractor? This is not a joke, by the way. And they said that in the 1800s, there were just bone doctors that would sort your spine out and all that stuff. And then these two bone doctors, one called it osteopathy and the other one called it chiropractic, I suppose. And that's it. It's very like Lidl and Aldi, isn't it? Same offering, just slightly different.
Great analogy.
Southampton's podcast, The So-So Show.
The future of the Hive Ferry is something that's had a question mark hanging over it for a while. And that was before COVID came along. But it's such a vital thing, linking Waterside with the city, not just for commuters, but it turns out holiday makers as well. We'll find out more about that in a moment. But first, let's meet a man involved in fundraising to keep the service going. Zoe caught up a couple of days ago with Sonny Wilson.
For the last couple of months, there's been a campaign about saving the Hive Ferry.
Yeah.
The Hive Ferry is owned by Blue Funnel Ferries. And unfortunately, due to the coronavirus and the pandemic, people haven't been using the Hive Ferry. And the Hive Ferry hasn't actually operated since Christmas Eve 2020.
Oh, wow.
So it's been a long time. There's been a lot of money loss. Currently, when we started the campaign back at the beginning of the year, there was a loss to date of over £190,000.
Oh, my God.
And the vessel required a refit in June this year to get it back up and on the water,
right,
which would have cost roughly around £60,000.
So you've been part of this campaign to save the Hive Ferry. And, you know, what does it mean? Because when you live in Hythe, to try and come up the water and around and back down into the city centre, you know, that's pretty tough, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So the campaign was actually started at the beginning of the year by a friend of mine, Ashley Mutimer. Basically, Ashley noticed that, you know, the Hive Ferry is not only used by people within Hive, but also people that come down to Southampton from all over the country. Commuters use it, tourists use it.
Yeah.
And also, especially for people in Hive, you know, to have to drive all the way around to Southampton, it causes a lot of traffic. So it's much easier just having this short commute on the ferry over to Southampton. And of course, then as soon as you get onto the other side on Town Pier, you've got a free bus that takes you straight into West Quay.
And so what have you been doing? What kinds of things have you been doing to save the Hive Ferry?
So Ashley started with this really bizarre idea that we would walk the pier, the Hive Pier, for 24 hours.
Whoa. 24 hours. Hang on. You need to go back to that. That's pretty dramatic.
Yeah. So it was a walk for 24 hours that both Ashley and I endured. We undertook the walk on Saturday, the 1st of May.
Yeah.
So we started at 11 o'clock in the morning on the Saturday.
Yeah.
And we had loads and loads of supporters, people coming down, walking the pier with us at all times of the day and the night, you know, and it was just continuously through both of us. We ended up walking right the way through till Sunday morning at 11 a.m.
Wow.
And really, really pleased that day on its own raised £8,500.
And how many times did you have to walk up and down the pier then?
So the pier is actually 700 yards long.
Yeah.
And we ended up doing approximately 45 and a half miles, which works out to be 114 lengths.
You didn't have somebody doing a tally chart at the end.
No, fortunately, I was tracking it on my watch, so I didn't have to think about it too much. But I'll be honest, when we got to kind of 11 and 12 miles in,
yeah,
I thought, oh, this is going to take a long time. But little did I know that we were going to make it up, you know, towards 46 miles.
46 miles in 24 hours. And I think you probably had quite a lot of support in the daytime and maybe in the evening. And there might have been sort of a bit of a party atmosphere. But those early hours must have been quite hard, right?
Do you know, at the beginning, we thought it'd be really difficult. You know, especially people that we've spoken to, people that work night shifts have said it's always the 2-3 o'clock time when you're tired. And that's when you start to get, you know, really weary. And, do you know, the support throughout the whole evening was absolutely fantastic. We had people turning up at 12:30. We had people turning up at 3 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, the support was absolutely overwhelming.
And to raise all of that money as well. And I believe that the Hive Ferry is up and running again, yeah?
Yeah, so the Hive Ferry, there's two Hive Ferries. There's the main ferry, which is obviously the cause of why we were doing this campaign. And then they also have a smaller ferry called Jenny Blue. So whilst the main Hive Ferry is obviously still undergoing her refit at the moment, Jenny Blue, the service on Jenny Blue has been restarted. So they are starting to do trips back and forth to Hive from Southampton now.
So that is a day out in itself, isn't it?
That's it, yeah. The great thing about the Hive Ferry is not only does it reduce the traffic on the roads, but also, like we say, when the Saints game is on at St Mary's, so many people use the ferry to go over,
right.
You know, and just that, you know, 15-minute trip across Southampton Water is really, really enjoyable, especially on a nice day. You know, I've got really fond memories of when I was a child going out with my family, my grandparents, and we used to go out for, you know, a ferry ride across just to Southampton, just to go out on the ferry and go across the water. You know, for young children, a boat ride is really, really exciting.
That's Sonny Wilson, who, along with his friends, have been raising money to try and keep the Hive Ferry in service. And I really hope that they're able to find the money to be able to do that, because it's such a great link.
But people need it. It's not like a want. It's a need.
Oh, completely.
Isn't it? And like Sonny was saying, you know, environmentally, it's so much better.
Oh, and when you read that retailers are going to stop selling halogen light bulbs in a few months because of the environmental benefit, yet no one can find any money to keep the Hive Ferry running, you just think, well, look, are we in this game or are we not in this game?
Yeah, agreed. So I've been spending a lot of money and I've realised that I'm in this sort of vicious clothes shopping cycle at the moment. And it goes something like this. So I go out to the shops and I see something lovely. So I buy it, but I can't try it on because the changing rooms are closed. So I take it home. I try it on. Either it looks terrible or I'm too fat. And then I realise all of that. So I take it back. And I stood the other day in Zara in Westquay. And I didn't realise. I was waiting behind the two people beside the door. I didn't realise the queue of 30 people that I jumped in front of. And that queue of 30 people is doing exactly the same as me, taking stuff back. But as I get slowly to the door, I look in Zara and I'm like, oh, that's quite nice. So while I'm taking stuff back, I'm spotting other things that I like. So I'll buy them or I'll exchange them. I bring them home. I try them on. They don't fit. So they have to get taken back. And then I spot something nice. And please tell me I'm not the only one that's going through this.
I'm sure other people do. But I managed to avoid that cycle completely by not going shopping ever at the moment. I can't tell you the last time I went clothes shopping. You could probably tell by looking at me.
But, no, you look great.
Well, I've gone a little bit summery. That, in some respects, is great for the retailers. Because if you buy it online and they send it to you and you try it and you have to send it back, then they don't get that extra item they can flog because you haven't seen other stuff while you're there.
But that actually means what I should be doing is shopping online.
Yeah,
you're right.
That would probably work out better. But the thing is, it's not like it's costing you anything at the moment anyway, because effectively you've got the same 40 quid that you've just been carrying over and carrying over on different things. In a bizarre way, yes, you are trapped in a cycle.
But I've loaned Zara all my money for the moment.
We had an event happening recently that wasn't necessarily on our doorstep. I know a lot of people went down to the New Forest for it.
For Dogstival. Now, I've got questions about this. I know it's called Dogstival, but the dogs weren't going on their own. How were they allowed to put on a big event like that and have all of those people there?
It was outdoors for starters, in the open air.
Yeah.
So if you can have people in a football stadium, then you can have people in a field in Burley.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been running for a few years anyway. Originally, it was at Pilewell, and then it moved to Burley a few years ago. It's a great event. And so many people have got dogs in the last year anyway because of lockdown. So if ever there was a year to be hosting Dogstival, this was the one.
Yeah.
And I must admit, it was quite sweet strolling through my social media the day after, seeing all these videos of my friends who'd taken their dogs along.
I know, it's cute, isn't it? And look, the weather was great, so it must have felt amazing. I'm allergic to dogs, but had I known that it was going to be a day like that, I would have gone along.
There must have been something quite nice about the idea of introducing your dog to water and it being in a hydro pool and not in the River Itchen.
Because
at least afterwards you could dry it off, stick it in the car, and it wasn't going to stink.
Yes, exactly. I've got something for you to do. This is around Southampton. Check it out on TikTok. This is Jammy Dodgers. They have put up pictures of Southampton, but tiny, tiny bits of Southampton. And if you find those and you tell Jammy Dodgers about it, then you could win a year's supply of Jammy Dodgers. Now, how many would be a year's supply for you, Simon?
Not many, because I did find a packet of half-eaten Jammy Dodgers in a tin in the cupboard the other day that one of the teenagers had bought and then forgotten about. And of course, at that point, they'd gone too stale.
Yeah.
Which is really annoying, because it's like, if I'd have known these were going, I would have chowed down on them.
They're the best, aren't they? I reckon we'd get through about 10 boxes. I reckon.
10 boxes.
See it more as a challenge.
I'd like to be here the day the lorry backs up your drive, beeps, and then the forklift comes off the back, drives it up to the garage door.
I feel like I've really opened up about my excesses in life this show. And another exciting thing, we have, I reckon, the biggest, most sparkliest celebrity coming to Southampton, to the Mayflower Theatre on August the 6th.
Do tell.
Sooty.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Sooty's summer party is coming to the Mayflower Theatre and you can book your tickets. It's a socially distanced performance. I reckon Sooty is the best performer I've ever seen on stage. With his mates, Sweep and Sue. Brilliant.
Has he given a quote about how much he's looking forward to coming to Southampton?
Yes, he said.
It's so good to see not just the Mayflower, but also the Mast opening up as well. They've got some excellent shows coming this year.
Yeah, they look great, don't they? The Mayflower Mast Studios. So what was the NST in the city, wasn't it?
I can't wait to get back into a theatre again and see something.
I know. It's lovely.
Thanks for listening. It's been another fun jaunt into Southampton life. And of course, if you do spot something that's going on that you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch via our socials.
Absolutely. We're always on there. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tinder.
Well, speak for yourself, love. And once again, thank you. 5,000 listeners. It's
just over the moon with it.
Absolutely blown us away when we saw that stat the other day. Thanks for listening. Have a great week, Zoe.
And you, Simon. And you.
You've been listening to Zoe Hanson and Simon Clark on Southampton's podcast, The So So Show.